In a spirit of gratitude and respect, we acknowledge the Saanich First Nations on whose traditional lands we are gathered today. Good morning. My name is Doug McGinnis, and I'm grateful to be here with the very sacred privilege that serving you as worship associate means to me. I extend a warm welcome to all of you who have found your way here on this bright and beautiful morning. Woohoo! The light is now returning. As comfortably seated as I trust you are, it is my wish that your hearts and minds are active and awake and are wide open to the promise of the mysterious and wonderful possibilities that present themselves when we come together in a community of spirit like ours. Today, Reverend Shauna will be exploring our willingness towards considering and openness to embracing new and different possibilities in our lives. Many of you will be familiar with that definition of insanity that describes the expectation that an action, if repeated enough times, will lead to a different result. So, may our intention this morning be one of taking a fresh appreciation of possibilities, being open to these so that we might move towards more joyous, sane, and meaningful life experiences. Now, I have a whole boatload of announcements to get through, so bear with me. Firstly, I'd like to make a brief reminder concerning families with children. I'm not going to give you a long announcement about that, but if you look in your order of service, there is quite a bit of information there for you to look at, and so I'll just simply refer you to that. You'll see from your order of service, too, that our new year is off to a busy start. We are a veritable hive of activities here. After the service, please join us for our mostly meatless Super Sunday lunch here in the sanctuary, where you can enjoy many flavored homemade soups. Participation is by donation. If you're able, a donation is welcome, but it is not necessary. All super diners are asked to take a ticket so that we can have a count of how many were fed. To help things run smoothly, and unless you're a volunteering to help, and I'm sure that's encouraged, I'd ask you to move promptly out of the sanctuary after the service so that folks can clear the chairs and set up the tables and the food. I'd also like to thank the Royal Oak West and Grand Central neighborhood groups for hosting this this what's to be expected as a wonderful meal. I should also mention that the Super Sunday is a kickoff event for the One Planet Saanich Initiative. And Glennis Turner is going to be, I'm not sure if it's going to be in the Lion Hall or in the hallway here, we'll have an information table set up for anyone interested in finding out more about that. So after the service today, we have a considering membership information session for those who are relatively new to the church or the congregation, who want to learn more and may want to explore a more formal connection to this community. So please grab a bowl of soup and then join Reverend Shauna and the membership team in the fireside room. And that fireside room is just beyond Lion Hall on your right-hand side. And that meeting will begin at about 12:15. I've also been asked to remind you of our general meeting, which is to be held here at the church on Sunday, January the 27th. At 12 p.m. There's a special note that I've been asked to read. It's a registered member may exercise rights of voice and vote at congregational meetings, and be nominated for elected office 60 days after his or her application for membership has been processed by the board. So for more details, I would invite you to ask any board member after the service. Next, if you don't get your fill of community this morning, and if you love listening to fantastic local musicians while exploring spiritual themes, the one that Reverend Shauna will be developing later today, come back at 7 p.m. to enjoy the Washington and Cook Band as they explore the theme of love and heartache. Yeah. And finally, a final reminder here, that there are unseen communication signals everywhere in this sanctuary. So while we are in a worship mode, please don't let those signals catch your device in a receptive mode. So with that final announcement, I'd like you to invite you now to turn to hymn 1000, Rise As You Are Able and Willing, to join in Morning Has Come. You'll find this in your teal hymnal.
The month of January, this new year, begin with the theme of possibility. What else could be possible for all of us, for each of us as individuals, for our planet, for our collective human community? We seem focused so much on what isn't possible. And so for the next 3 weeks, we will together explore how to stay open, how to be willing participants in what may be. And so this morning I'm going to invite our honored volunteer, Phyllis Ahern, to light our chalice. And you may have noticed in your newsletter that there is quite a write-up about Phyllis, so much could be said about her. Phyllis is a bell ringer, a coffee server, a convener of a neighborhood group. She's one of those steadfast volunteers that every community needs. And so as she kindles the flame, let us see this flame this morning as the flame of possibility, the light that shows the way to things that are not yet, but still could be. Blessed be. Well, this morning now, it's time for me to talk with all of the wonderful young people who are up here. So if there are any young people back in chairs who would like to work their way forward, feel free to do so now. You can bring a grown-up with you if you want to. This morning, I'm going to talk a little bit about this idea of possibility, and I'm going to do it with you all by talking about knock-knock jokes. The time-honored tradition of the knock-knock joke. Because there's this phrase, some sort of phrase from long ago about opportunity knocking at the door. And so I was thinking about things that knock on our door, whether it's our real door. Sometimes people come over and they knock, which is happening less and less these days. Have you noticed that? People don't come over anymore, except people who are like trying to sell you something. That's not as much fun. But the knock-knock joke, the whole idea was that sometimes new things that are unexpected and sometimes things that are funny happen. So do you guys know how knock-knock jokes work? You know how they work, right? All right, so here we go. Knock-knock.
Who's there?
Banana.
Banana who?
Knock-knock.
Who's there?
Banana.
Banana who?
Knock-knock.
Who's there?
aren't you glad I didn't say banana? That was one of my favorites when I was a kid. I loved that one. I thought it was really funny. I don't know why, but it just really tickled. Yeah, Arrow thought it was funny. And the reason I told you that silly one is because sometimes things knock more than once. Sometimes we don't answer the door of new possibilities or new things the first time it knocks. Sometimes the banana has to come back several times before we realize that the banana and the orange and all the other fruits make a wonderful fruit salad, and we were not saying hello and not saying welcome. So it's a new year, and I thought, with a new year, maybe we all could look at all the doors that we've been keeping closed, and we could think about opening a few more of them, or maybe even trying some new things this new year. So is there anything that you've been thinking about trying that you haven't tried yet that you want to? I see some thinking going on. Some of you have already tried lots of things, like dyeing your hair purple, like bringing monsters to church, like wearing dinosaurs on your pants. Lots of things that many of us could learn from, I think. Oh, but Nat T has something new he wants to try in 2019. What? Skiing. Now, that would be opening the door to a banana or an orange or something. That's exciting. Skiing. Are you thinking downhill skiing or cross-country skiing? If I'm your mom, I'm kind of hoping for cross-country, but you know, you go where you go. You go where you go. It's very exciting. He wants the downhill. Okay. Wear a helmet, please. Okay. Well, that's my hope for us, is that we all think about maybe some new things we want to try, and we think about opening the door to new possibilities in this new year, okay? So let's share our moment of centering, our prayerful moment, and then I'll send you forth into your classes and time with your peers today. Spirit of life and of love, we give thanks for all of the doors that have been opened for us, for our parents and our friends who have asked us and invited us to try new things, whether it was a new vegetable or a new friend or a new way of looking at things. We give thanks for all of those new things. And as we look at this new year and at this community, we hope to try some more things. And we give thanks for all the things that have made us smile and walk a new way home or to school so that we could see something else. For all of this and for so much more that we feel but maybe don't even have the words for yet, we lift our hearts on this beautiful morning. Amen. And blessed be. Thanks so much for coming to talk to me. You don't have to tell that joke again. Some of you are like, that was a really bad knock-knock joke. That's okay. You can tell me your favorite later, okay? And the adults are going to form their arches, and those of you who are going to go off to classes can do that.
We would like to take time to especially welcome visitors who are here for the first time today. Please accept our thanks for joining us. And whether you are new to our congregation or possibly an old friend or member of this community returning after a long stretch of time, please accept our sincere invitation to introduce yourself. if that feels comfortable for you. And I see that either Bruce or Al, there you are. Bruce is going to be, he has the portable microphone. So if that, now is that time to introduce yourself. Please hold up your hand high and Bruce will come and find you.
Good morning. I'm Stephen. I'm from somewhere in the west coast of the United States of America, depending upon when you ask. My great-grandmother has a tie to the UU Church in Seattle, and my sister is a member of the UU Church in Fresno.
Welcome.
Thank you.
Welcome, Stephen.
I'm surprised there aren't more people saying hello, but my name is Marion, and I've been considering coming for a long time, and in the first 10 minutes, I feel quite welcome. Thank you.
Welcome, Marion. Okay. Well, after the service, any newcomers who are here and who may not have spoken, are certainly invited to join Carolyn at our visitors' table at some point. I'm not sure when. There's Carolyn. To find out more about the Unitarian, our First Unitarian Church. Also, as I mentioned earlier, any newcomers are most welcome to join Reverend Shauna in the fireside room after the service at 12:15 to learn more about the community. This month's Share the Plate offering will be evenly shared between Greater Victoria Acting Together, or GVAT as we come to know it, and the many ministries of our congregation. As you may have heard last Sunday, GVAT is an alliance of organizations such as unions and congregations, as well as environmental, educational, and frontline service organizations, and this includes our church. By intentionally fostering relationships among these different organizations, GVAT works by building a strong power base from which the members act together strategically and effectively on their shared priority issues. Currently, the top issues, as I understand them, going from memory, include reconciliation, homelessness, climate change, and poverty. So, checks may be made out to the First Unitarian Church of Victoria, and if you wish to have your offering included in our Share the Plate initiative, please write SHARE on the memo line of your check or on the offering envelope. So after the offering baskets have passed your row, anyone who feels moved to do so is invited to come to the chalice table to light a candle of remembrance and hope. A contribution to the baskets is, of course, not required to participate. To honor these acts, so let us move in a spirit of mindfulness.
so many lights of hope, so much we wish to remember. Let us gather now in a moment of stillness, a moment of centeredness, to remember who we are, to remember what matters most to us. Spirit that dwells within each of us, that moves amongst us, Spirit that we see in the snow cap on the mountains that surround us and in the waves that crash against the shore. Help us to remain open. It is far easier to be closed, to feel like all things in life are as they will always be. And yet we know we have experienced so many changes in our lifetime. So may we remain open. And Spirit, in this time when we are often told to remain cynical, to look for the worst, remind our hearts to be willing, willing to look for goodness, willing to offer kindness, willing to be instruments of peace and love. May we be open, and may we be willing. So may it be.
I've been gently accused of being a perfectionist, but the bigger truth is that I'm a slow work in progress. When I'm not too distracted, I ask, who am I, and what possibilities exist for me to better engage in this miraculous, beautiful, and all too vulnerable world? How might I become more wise, happy, connected, valuable, loving, aware, productive, peaceful, and dare I say, inspiring to others? But the hard work I must do to improve myself seems to meet with a deeper inner resistance, with a voice that says, just be yourself, Douglas. After all, everyone else is taken. I see that I am basically okay, and staying the course seems a safe bet. Friends are, after all, quite willing to offer me a tune-up when I need it. Nevertheless, being frozen in my tyranny of the familiar is bothersome, compelling me to explore who I was, who I am, and who I could become. I understand that life is flow, and I want to direct some of it. Now, with most of my professional energy having gone into work in the material world, accessing key personal growth tools were missed opportunities for me, ones that might have helped me develop as a younger man. Now, at least, I'm aware they exist, There are various schools of meditation. There's neuro-linguistic programming, emotional freedom technique, eye movement desensitization reprogramming, nonviolent communication, inner child therapy, journaling, talk therapy, and so much more. And dare I mention the vast array of tools and treatments from YouTube and the self-help shelf? I sadly confess I've only just dabbled. Comprehending the years needed to master each of these tools brings me back to feeling a little frozen. Still, I'm encouraged by the knowledge that neuroplasticity, brain healing, and new brain tissue growth is now a proven thing, making new tricks possible, even for us older dugs. What's more, for all of what the universe has to offer me to grow and to be part of the flow of life, I'm grateful. From earliest memories, I've been aware that I exist in an unspeakably miraculous universe, imbued with infinite creative potentialities and possibilities. In my better dreams, beautiful and sacred patterns color my inner cosmos, yielding not one iota to that which is impossible. So I'm always up for this. So I remain hopeful within my circle of gratitude, still somewhat baffled by my unconscious fears and limitations, my resistance to good things I know to be possible. There is an annoying glitch in my Doug operating system, causing random memories to copy onto a disk of despair, re-recording and integrating regrettable past experiences, a disk labeled, "If only." This can be sobering. As I said at the beginning, I'm a work in progress, possibly a perfectionist, seeking more than just a sunny, spotless mind. What matters is that my growing awareness will help me flow into a connected, meaningful, clear, and joy-filled present that I know is always possible.
It's lovely to see you all and to wish you a happy new year. It's also lovely to have my voice back for those of you who were here on Christmas Eve. It was kind of a struggle, wasn't it? I was not pleasant to listen to. I've got two readings to share with you this morning. The first is really about theological possibility because we Unitarian Universalists are not known for our openness necessarily when it comes to theological things. We've sometimes been accused of addressing our prayers to whom it may concern. And so this morning's first reading addresses that with one of the funniest spiritual writers there is out there, and that is Anna Lamott, for those of you who have not found her yet. This is from her book entitled Help, Thanks, Wow, The Three Essential Prayers. She writes, "You may, in fact, be wondering what I even mean when I use the word prayer. It's certainly not what TV Christians mean. It's not for display purposes like plastic sushi or neon. Prayer is private, even when we pray with others. It is communication from the heart to that which surpasses understanding. Let's say it is communication from one's heart to God. Or if that is too triggering or ludicrous a concept for you, to the good, the force that is beyond our comprehension, but that in our pain or supplication or relief, we don't need to define or have any proof of or any established contact with. Let's say it is what the Greeks called the really real, what lies within us, beyond the scrim of our values, positions, convictions, and wounds. Or let's say it is a cry from deep within to life or love with capital L's. Nothing could matter less than what we call this force. I know some ironic believers who call God Howard, as in, Our Father who art in heaven, Howard be thy name. I called God Phil for a long time after a Mexican bracelet maker promised to write Phil 447 on my bracelet, Philippians chapter 4, verses 4 through 7 being my favorite passage of scripture, but he got only as far as Phil before having to dismantle his booth. Phil is a great name for God. My friend Robin calls God the grandmothers. Let's not get bogged down on whom or what we pray to. Let's just say prayer is communication from our hearts to the great mystery or goodness or Howard. To the animating energy of love we are sometimes bold enough to believe in. To something unimaginably big and not us. We could call this force not me. Or, for convenience, we could just say God. The second reading I shared with you before a few months ago, it was one that I found on my favorite blog, which still promises to be redoing itself and hasn't quite yet, on the On Being blog. And this particular reading is really about possibility for life itself. It's from We Are Stories and Stardust by Claire Mulvaney. Back in biology class, circa 1995, I learned about osmosis, quote, the movement of liquid or gas from an area of high concentration to an area of low concentration through a semi-permanent membrane. The cell wall is not a fixed state, but a frontier or a passage between one state of being and another. Through the margin of the wall, the entire chemistry of the cell can be modified. No cell wall is fixed. Whiz deeper and we get to the subatomic level in any case, where we realize that we are all just bundles of bouncing energy and space with plenty of room to maneuver. Nothing, not even something that appears solid, is in a fixed or permanent state. Not even ourselves. And when we think of ourselves as immutable and irrefutable, we become locked in our own definition of ourselves, constricted somehow, until the world we want to know is the world we already think we know. Did you catch that line? I'm going to read it again. She said, we become locked in our definition of ourselves, constricted somehow until the world we want to know is the world we already think we know. In other words, we become small. Open and willing. How often have you been told no? Whatever it is you are imagining or envisioning, you've been told it can't be done. How much does the way you view your life and the choices that are available to you make you feel hemmed in or limited? Have you become small because the horizon of possibility seems so circumscribed? So circumscribed that your life almost feels as if it is on a trajectory that looks a great deal like a tunnel? How about your connection to prayer or spirit or, as Anne Lamott said, Howard? Has that felt limited as well? Like you have been stuck in a rut because the one and only way or path that was presented to you never fit? Or because the how or to whom you expressed those big and ultimate feelings never quite worked the way that you wanted or the way that you hoped? If you feel this way, I doubt you are alone. More and more, it seems we are bombarded with messages and images of defeat. The overriding sentiment seems to be that life, even our own individual life, is beyond our control. There is nothing you can do that will make an impact. Climate change, the loss of civil discourse, the increase of anxiety, the mistrust of any and all people who are not like me. The litany of reasons to become small is long and getting longer by the day. So, you know what I'm starting to wonder? I'm starting to wonder if this doesn't mean we should actually go the other way. Instead of living small, instead of shrinking to fit the space that we are told is what is possible, perhaps we need to inhabit more space. Live large, so to speak. So that we might actually connect and impact more rather than less. One definition of possibility has only to do with likelihood, right? Possibility is how likely is it that this thing I think might happen is actually going to happen? What are the odds? And if we live only by those odds, wow, there's a whole bunch of things we ain't never going to do. Come on, right? The odds of this happening are so slim, I'm not even going to get out of bed and attempt it. I won't reach out and I won't try anything unless I think I can succeed. Even before I start, I almost want assurances that that will be possible. And I've begun to worry as I look at the collective landscape that all of us are doing so much shrinking that there's very little collective usness anymore. Perhaps together we need to atone for our lack of belief in what is possible, because if we are all playing it small, if we are all doing the least we can do, if we are all shrinking into our insular bubbles of only those things and those people closest to me, is it any wonder then that our common good, our common life, our common wealth is in a shambles? Every once in a while, I find that a news story brings me up short. Not just because it is stunning or wrenching or depressing or even on that rare occasion uplifting, but because it mirrors so closely what I have actually seen in my work and in my life. It seems to mirror a truth that I go, yeah, that makes sense. I felt exactly that way when I read the story of the United Kingdom appointing a new government position. You've heard about this position by now since it was appointed a year ago, right? Minister of Loneliness. In January of 2018, Prime Minister Theresa May, bless her heart, appointed Tracy Crouch to a new position in the government. May said at that time, and I quote, "For far too many people, loneliness is the sad reality of modern life," end quote. She said that she was creating the position in part because, according to a 2017 study, 9 million people, or 14% of the population of the United Kingdom, reported feeling often or always lonely. 14% of the population of the United Kingdom, 9 million people, often or always lonely. This decision by the United Kingdom then brought more and more news, a deluge, if you will, of reports and articles decrying the fact that loneliness, and I would add to the list despair and anxiety, are the public health crisis of our time. Former U.S. Surgeon General Vivek Murthy said in the Harvard Business Review essay that he wrote on this issue of social isolation that, quote, "It is associated with a reduction in lifespan similar to that caused by smoking 15 cigarettes a day." A loneliness epidemic that is killing people, quite literally. So how does this connect with possibility, you may be wondering? The more despair and anxiety and loneliness rule the day, it seems to me, the less room there is for anything else. We lose hope. We lose a sense that anything other than what is already happening can happen. We become small. our spirituality becomes small. We don't reach out or extend ourselves. And so I wonder, here in this new year, can we find our way back to possibility? What spiritual practices or wisdom might counteract or counterbalance the message that we are constantly receiving, that everything is as it is and that nothing new is possible? Buddhist teacher Sharon Salzberg was asked about how to counteract anxiety, and her answer applies to how to regain a sense of possibility about our lives. She wrote, and I quote, "A major stream of Buddhist practice is the development of insight through the cultivation of mindfulness. As we understand ourselves a lot more, as we see our lives more clearly, we understand many things on a deeper level. How changeable everything is. How we are all interconnected, no matter how alone we sometimes feel. How some of the attitudes we've been taught will make us happy or strong, like vengefulness, really don't. How some of the attributes we've been taught are sappy or stupid, like compassion or generosity, are actually the best things in our lives. The more we develop insight, the more we discover we are no longer held and enslaved by qualities like anxiety." End quote. We need practices that help us see the deeper level that Salzberg speaks of when the surfaces are so disheartening. Maybe you, like Salzberg and Buddhists, meditate and find that when you do, there is a calm at your center that the whims of this day or that cannot shake. Whether perhaps you're a person who speaks to Howard or the grandmothers, perhaps you have found that prayer is a grounding and guiding force in an otherwise volatile world. Maybe you are a journal writer who discovers in the practice of putting thoughts and feelings on paper that each day contains a piece of the larger arc of life with a capital L. Maybe you are someone who goes for a walk along a favorite stretch of waterfront and are reminded by the natural world that some things are timeless, eternal even, and always ready to accompany you. Or perhaps you're a person who, at the end of a hard week or a trying month, simply decide it's time to share a meal with a friend and find in that sharing that you are soothed by their laughter and their smile and their presence. Our son, that funny little impish guy who hangs out here with us on Sundays, almost didn't survive his sixth day of life. And not so long ago, he turned 6 years old. And in September, he started kindergarten. And I had forgotten what a tender time the start of kindergarten is for everyone. For kids, for parents, even for teachers. There are tears and there are nerves and there is a lot of uncertainty about how everything will turn out. But the beginning of kindergarten is also a time of immense possibility. There is an openness to what might be, and conclusions about who all these little people are and who they might become and how they will make their way are not foregone. At that early stage, it's like we're all willing, all open, all ready to try new things, to be flexible, to see potential rather than set outcomes. We can be and we are moved and changed by the experiences that come our way from kindergarten on. We all are moved and changed by the people who enter and leave our lives. I think really at its base, possibility is the conviction that our lives make a difference and have an impact. Because you don't need to change the world to change yours for the better. You don't need, did you hear that? You don't need to change the world to change yours for the better. And so my prayer for each of us in 2019 is that we might embrace the possibilities of our lives. May you find ways to be less anxious, less despairing, less lonely. May you live less small. May you take up more space. May you be embedded in loving kindness. And so I close with that prayerful song. May you be filled with loving kindness. May you be well. May you be filled with loving kindness. May you be well. May you be peaceful and at ease. May you be whole. More wholeness, more peace, more ease, more love and more life. For us all, now and always. Blessed be. Our closing hymn today is in some ways all about taking up space. It's all about the joy part of the equation that I didn't talk as much about in the message this morning. And it's a spiritual. And I like to say about spirituals, there's no right way or wrong way to sing a spiritual because these were oral tradition songs. So they were just kind of passed along. So the only wrong way to sing a spiritual is to not sing it with spirit, right? Is to sing it in this kind of, oh, I woke up this morning with my mind stayed on freedom. Did you really? Because you don't look like it. You don't sound like it. You sound like you woke up, maybe you need another cup of coffee. You know? So I woke up this morning with my mind and it was state of freedom, right? You got to say, hallelujah. Sing it like you believe it. Like it's going to happen. Like it's possible, right? So hymn number 153 is the spiritual, "Oh, I Woke Up This Morning." My friends, if we're not going to be small, if we are not going to be what late Minister William Sloan Coffin used to say, there's no smaller package in the world than a person who's all wrapped up in themselves. And if we're not going to be small, if we're going to take up space, then it's going to have to be as uncomfortable as singing a spiritual you're not sure you know how to sing. It's going to be, "I woke up this morning with my mind." I think we can do it. Come on. "It was state of freedom. I woke up this morning with my mind, and it was state of freedom. I woke up this morning with my mind, and it was state of freedom." Hallelujah. 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 Sometimes you gotta wake up in the morning and you gotta say, there are more people out there that I could love. I could feel more free in my own life. That would be allelu, allelu, alleluia. Because I don't know about you, but when I walk around the streets of Victoria, I see a lot of people all wrapped up in themselves and not looking too happy. And a smile, a kindness, a gesture that says, "You matter to me, even if just in this moment, this little moment we have, makes a difference." So may we be open and may we be willing to step out on the limbs of life where we get a little uncomfortable, but we get a lot of living. blessed be.